Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
See, I pitched it to people who were only getting paid for their time, people who were in the business of getting paid only when they were working. And so the idea was that they could start creating information products and they would be able to start making money while they slept.
Hi, it's Michael Senoff with Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called How to Teach Telephone Seminars and Earn Up to $997 per Student. Marcia is a telephone seminar expert who charges up to $997 per student for her telephone seminar trainings. And with 12 people in each seminar, she's earning $11,964 a session, all by telephone. According to Marcia, anyone can offer telephone seminars and make a handsome living doing it. All you have to do is pick a subject you're good at and follow her easy steps for success. And in this audio interview, you'll hear all about the steps you need to take, the strategies that work best, and the tools you need to get started. The beauty of teaching telephone seminar classes by phone is that it can all be done from the comfort of your own home. It doesn't matter where you live, when you conduct your seminars, or even if you're teaching in your pajamas. You're in control of your students, so you'll get to make the rules. But the best part of conducting seminars by telephone is that you can record all your sessions and sell them as an information home study product when you're done and earn even more money. You'll also learn in this interview how to sell your telephone seminars for the highest price possible without losing sales, how to promote and fill your seminar classes even if you don't have a list, what's the magic number for students for each telephone seminar session, the number one challenge of putting on telephone seminars and how to overcome it, how long each session should be and how many sessions Marcia recommends you conduct, what to charge, when to collect, and what refund policy works best, how to capture international students for your telephone seminars. According to Marcia, her telephone seminars are similar to college classes, where students learn set principles, have homework, receive handouts, and work towards achieving goals. This is what sets her courses apart from regular teleseminars, and it's also what makes them appealing to people from all walks of life. So it doesn't matter whether you're good at sales, marketing, Italian cooking, or reading palms. If you can teach someone a skill, you'll be able to find an audience for your telephone seminars and get paid thousands of dollars for your time. And this 38-minute interview is just the place to get started. Enjoy. For more information on Marcia and her telephone seminar how-to system, go to www.seminarsbytelephone.com. That's www.seminarsbytelephone.com. Enjoy the interview. Now let's get going. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and share some of your ideas on creating audio courses with my listeners. And I want my listeners to know how valuable your time is because you charge a lot of money for seminars. I'm going to try and get a lot of information out of you right now for free. What is an audio course?
An audio course is more similar to the kind of courses we might take in adult education or in college, where there's a number of things that the student is going to learn in a set amount of time. And instead of being in a classroom, the content is delivered by phone through the audio channel. So an audio course would usually be delivered in a number of sessions over a series of weeks, usually, not just one session. And I think it works best when the purpose of the course is a certain outcome. So the course has a goal to teach someone how to do something. And it's not just a support group, it's not just coaching. And usually an audio course will have class participation. So it's not just me or the instructor lecturing.
And give me an example of one of the audio courses you've put on so I could kind of reference to what
sure.
you've done.
I have taught 4 audio courses so far, one of them twice. So that could be 4 or 5 courses, depending how you count them. And the first one I taught was called Launch Your Information Empire. And that had 7 sessions of roughly an hour and a half each. Each session had a particular topic, and the purpose of the whole course was that at the end of it, people would have everything they needed to know to start creating their own information products, to have the strategy, to have the tools, to have gotten some feedback on their general idea, and to know how to do everything from creating the product to marketing it.
Okay, so similar to if it was a live seminar where people came to a venue or a hotel or whatever, but it's more convenient because anyone can get the content, but it's all done through phone.
Correct.
Would this be similar to a term we've heard out there in the internet marketing world, teleseminar?
No. A teleseminar usually is just a one-session unit. So a teleseminar series might be a course, but it also might be a series of separate sessions that really didn't relate to one another.
Yours was about an hour to hour and a half per session. Were they weekly? How did you space it out?
Weekly.
It was weekly. What did you find to be the best time to hold those sessions?
Well, my market is people who are in business. It's not consumers, it's not moonlighters, it's not retired people. So I held it during daytime business hours. What I'm finding is probably the best time of day for that audience is about 2 p.m. Eastern time. The course I'm teaching right now starts at 1 p.m. Eastern time, and I have a student in New Zealand who has to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to participate, and I think that's really asking too much. So if I have it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, then it's still reasonable for people in Europe, for people on the East Coast, people on the West Coast, and also people in New Zealand and Australia.
And what day of the week are you holding these?
Usually it's Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
Is it on the same day for all 7?
Yes.
So who could teach and put on one of these audio courses?
Really, anyone who knows things that other people want to know. You don't have to have any kind of traditional teaching or academic credential. You could have learned something practical. I mean, you could teach Hungarian cooking. You could teach car repair. You could teach Chinese. You could teach a lot of different things.
What are the benefits for you when you put on an audio course and talk about some of the benefits for the students?
Well, let's start with the student benefits, and then I'll get to the teacher benefits. One benefit for the student is that they don't have to travel. So it can be really convenient for somebody who has a busy schedule. It's an efficient use of their time. Again, there's no travel, and they can just hang up the phone and then maybe take a little break and then be doing something else. So it's really different from in-person learning in that respect. Another benefit for the student is that they can be learning from someone who they would ordinarily not be able to have access to. So maybe it's somebody who lives in another country, somebody who you wouldn't ordinarily be able to call up on the phone and ask questions of. It could be somebody who doesn't teach these things very often, and so on. It could be the world's greatest expert on something or other. And you could also be learning something that you can't learn in other educational settings. So that course that I taught, Launch Your Information Empire, I mean, that's not taught in colleges and stuff. It's just taught by people like me who've done it.
So on that one, Launch Your Information Empire, how many students did you have on that particular audio course?
I had 12 people in each session of the course. The first session was November, December, and I had 12 people in that. And then I offered it again in January, February, and I had 12 people in that. And 12 was the limit that I had set.
Were your students all from the U.S. or international?
In that case, they were all from the U.S., yeah.
And they were all walks of life, all different types of businesses?
I would say so, yeah. And then let's get to the benefits for the teacher. Again, you don't have to travel in order to teach. And right now I live in a very small town, and I would be hard put to teach an in-person class and gather the people from my geographic area here. So I can be living where I want to be living and teach people easily through this method. And a big one for me is I don't have to get dressed up. That's something I really hated when I lived in the city and went to business meetings. And these classes don't necessarily need a very long ramp-up time. So you can be looking ahead at your schedule and see that maybe some projects fell through and you have a need for more income in the next couple of months. You can just dream up a class, announce it, and be earning money from that class in a matter of weeks.
Okay, tell me, build your information empire. How much did you charge your students for that course?
I charged people who were in the live course $795.
$795?
Yes.
And so you had about 24 students, two different sessions?
Correct.
Wow, now that's some good money if you break it down per hour. What happens if one of the students can't make one of the live course days?
Well, I have that situation covered in a number of different ways. The first way it's covered is that there's a replay number that people can call into 24 hours a day to hear the most recent session on the phone. Secondly, they will get at the end of the course all of the sessions edited on CD. So they can listen to it within a week of the time the class was scheduled and catch up if they had to miss a session, or they can wait until the end and catch up when they get the CD.
What do you do when you're designing and putting on an audio course to increase the perceived value? How are you able to get that kind of money for an audio course?
Well, I think that there are a number of factors that I have observed with other people teaching audio courses also that I think can enhance the perceived value of a course. And I think the number one factor really is something I mentioned earlier, and it's kind of a hard point to get, but it makes a huge difference to people whether or not they can expect to get a certain outcome at the end of the course, as opposed to just listening and learning miscellaneous things. If the course has a goal that is valuable to them, then that increases the perceived value greatly. And another thing is the instructor's reputation. I have that large newsletter list of people who, many of them have been on my list for years. They feel like they know me, they trust me. And when I announced that course, I got people immediately signing up, either for the first session or for the second session. Another element of perceived value is people like the idea that they're going to have a chance to ask questions as the course goes along. They're not just going to be passive listeners. So the chance to ask questions and get feedback is important.
Is that always saved for the end of the session?
No, it's in the middle. I always break up the class with questions and answers. So we always have at least two question and answer sessions in a class, although some of the classes that I have taught have very little lecture. It's mostly discussion, and so they have a chance to ask questions throughout the whole thing. Another element of perceived value is if you let people know that you're not going to be teaching this class more than once or twice. So after that Launch Your Information Empire class, the next class that I did was a copywriting course that was based on a $2,500 one-on-one program that I wanted to turn into a home study program. What I did in order to do that was I had a one-time interactive group session which used the same copywriting teaching method that I use in my one-on-one class. I told people this is the only time I'm going to be doing that, and this is your chance to get at least part of the value you get in the $2,500 program for only $997.
Let me take you back. So you had already done a one-on-one copywriting program that your students paid $2,500 for.
Correct.
That was already done, and then you repackaged that as an audio course, made an offer to your list that you would be doing a one-time group copywriting training in the form of an audio course.
Correct.
How many students did you get for that?
I believe I had seven for that.
And you already had the content and the outline of the material?
I had the content in the sense I had all the concepts and all the things I wanted to teach, but I had to create completely new exercises or assignments for the course.
Yeah, what did you charge for that one?
Well, the one-on-one course was $2,500, and then the live class based on that was $997.
What you said is really important. To build value in your audio course, you want the students to have an outcome, a goal. So in your offer for building your information empire, what was your offer in your promotion, whether it was an email or your sales letter? What could that student see at the end of that course? What was the goal, and how do you integrate that into your promotion?
The goal was that they would be on their way to having their first information product. And you see, I pitched it to people who were only getting paid for their time. That's how I geared my sales letter. People who were in the business of getting paid only when they were working. And so the idea was that they could start creating information products and they would be able to start making money while they slept.
And what kind of offer did you have? Was there a refund? Was there a guarantee?
I'll tell you what I've done, and this is what I've done with all the audio courses I've taught, and it has worked out very, very well, and I think it's beneficial both to the students and to me. The refund policy is as follows. There's a certain date by which their payment is locked in. In other words, they don't get a refund, and then I know how many students I have in the class. And then they have a possibility of a refund after that when they attend the first session, and if they decide at the end of the first class session that it's not for them, they just need to tell me within 24 hours and I'll refund everything they paid.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. Okay, so you make the offer. Let's say the audio course is $795.
Right.
If someone's interested in signing up, they'll sign up and they'll pay the whole $795 up front?
Well, actually, what I do is I have them pay a $100 deposit first.
Pay a $100 deposit first.
And there's a date by which they need to pay the rest of the tuition.
Yeah, how far off do you set that?
About a week or 10 days before the first class session.
Okay. So the $100 is non-refundable?
The $100 is refundable up to the date by which they need to pay the rest of the tuition.
Okay. And have you found a good follow-up from the people who put the $100 down? Do they usually come through with the rest of the money?
Yes. I've had just maybe two people in all the times I've taught this back out of the $100. And, you know, it's just giving the $100 back.
Okay. So once they pay the full amount, the $795, then there is a money-back offer after the first session if they're not delighted, a full refund.
Yes. So two people have taken me up on that, one in each of two different courses, and they just said, you know, I realize this isn't for me right now.
You have to make it risk-free.
Right. And then, you know what? I have somebody on a waiting list.
So tell me, how many people can you handle in a course? What have you found?
I don't think I would want to have more than 12, because if you have 12 people in the course, they won't all come to every session. So you'll maybe have 8 or 9 people on the call, and I can manage that easily. And more people than that, it can get kind of chaotic. And then if you have homework assignments, which some of my courses do, then the more people you have, the more homework you have to give people feedback on.
All right, so we talked a little bit about this, but what do you recommend after your experience is a reasonable length for each session? How long should each session be, and what do you recommend for how many sessions to do?
Well, I discovered after my first audio course that there are two important constraints. And they might be slightly different for other people, at least one of these factors. But I discovered that I can't really personally maintain my energy at the level that I want it to be for more than an hour and a half. So 90 minutes is the absolute limit of what I can do a good job on. There's one more important constraint on time. So the second one is how much audio content can fit on a CD. So remember, I'm giving people CDs afterwards. So it's really 79 and a half minutes that can fit on a CD. And what I found is that if you have a session as long as, let's say, an hour and 25 minutes, it's very easy to edit that down to an hour and 20 minutes. But when I had these sessions that were an hour and a half or a little bit more than that because I ran over, I couldn't edit them down to one CD, and then I had to have two CDs for some lessons and one CD for other lessons, and I just decided for those two reasons that my limit from then on was going to be about an hour and 20 minutes.
How about the number of sessions?
I think that in order for people to feel like there's a process in the course and that they're moving week by week toward an outcome, I think you need to have at least three sessions. The shortest course I've taught was four sessions. The longest course so far is eight sessions. There's a lot to learn in that course, so people are feeling like it's moving along very quickly, and it's got eight sessions. I haven't finished this one yet. I think at the end they're going to feel like they wish they had more time, but eight sessions is a good chunk of content.
Let's say I've got an idea. I've got content. I would like to put on an audio course. How am I going to convince my people to sign up?
For me, there have been two methods that have worked the best. The first is announcing it on my newsletter, and that can be very effective. And that would only work, of course, for people who already had a list of people who were appropriate for the course that they were going to be teaching. And the second method that has worked very well for me, and I think this might surprise some people because it's not usually talked about these days with internet marketing, but sending old-fashioned sales letters through the mail to people who I have special reason to believe would be really good prospects for a certain course, because in most cases they had previously bought something else that the course is a logical follow-up for. What I did was I took my website content, my website sales letter, and added a paragraph or two at the beginning, printed it out on paper, I think it was about an 8-page letter by that time, and sent it through the mail to a bunch of people I plucked out of my database or who I thought would be good prospects, and that definitely paid off.
When you printed it out, did it look like you just printed it from your website, or did you make it like it was a direct mail letter where you just pulled the copy and formatted it in a letter?
It probably looked like it was taken off my website.
Which is fine.
I personalized it because I handwrote on each one, "Dear so-and-so," and signed Marcia at the end.
Okay, so you knew which student that was, and you wrote a personal paragraph for each one of those potential prospects?
So it was an introductory paragraph that was the same for everybody, but I handwrote "Dear so-and-so" on the printed letter and then signed my name personally at the end.
Now, when you put it in your envelope, did you mail it in a number 10 envelope?
I did.
Did you handwrite the address on the envelope?
I believe I did, yes.
Okay. When you made the first announcement, was it a solo email promoting an announcement?
Any solo email.
Okay, so all your emails are a newsletter.
Everything I announce to my list comes after a very short article in my Marketing Minute newsletter, and then just two paragraphs. That's all the space I get. I send them to the website to learn more.
So after your Marketing Minute newsletter article, you had a promo that, hey, I'll be putting on a audio course on this subject, and for more information, go to the site.
Right.
And with the examples of the audio courses you've put on, would you do that one time or would you do it multiple times?
Multiple times.
Yeah. How often do you send the marketing newsletter out?
Once a week on Wednesday. I believe that in order to fill up a class, I would mention the course three times.
So you give yourself about 3 or 4 weeks before the actual course began?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And for other people who don't have a list, some methods that they might want to use might be joint ventures, having a website that you send traffic to by various means, such as you can use Google AdWords, and also posting things in forums where people who would logically be interested in your course hang out.
What have you found some of the biggest challenges of putting these audio courses on?
Well, they take preparation. So you have to make sure that you leave yourself enough time to prepare. So what I typically do is before the first class session begins, I will try to make sure I have a complete outline of every session of the course and the materials, in other words, the handouts that the students are going to get for at least the first two classes. And so then I'll present the first class, and I'll be working on the second and third, and so on. So I try to make sure that I've set it up so I'm never trying to get a class together at the last minute, because that's when you get sloppy. So preparation, and if there's homework, you got to make sure you allow enough time to do the comments on the homework before the next session. And you need to be really organized when you're presenting session by phone. I find that the people that I have don't hesitate to tell me when they might not 100% approve of the way I handled something or other in a class. So there's one person in particular who's in my class now who has told me twice so far that I shouldn't allow that many questions during the class. He's one person who would prefer to have just me talking. But I know that that's not what everybody else in the class wants. And another thing someone else told me was, I couldn't find your last email in my box because you didn't put the right subject line on the email. And, you know, so now I have to be really careful how to do that for her. You need to keep the class on track. So if you've announced it for an hour and a half and you're going to be covering a certain subject in that time, you have to pace yourself so that by the end of the time that you have announced, you've covered what you wanted to cover. So I've been teaching for 30 years, so I know how to do that. I know how to allow discussion and then start again with content and then not allow questions for a while. So that's a skill that you'll need in order to be doing these audio classes.
You're going to be recording these sessions. Do you have people sign off and agree that it's okay for these sessions to be recorded? And how do you handle the actual recording of each session?
I just make sure that they know from the sales letter that I will be recording the session. And the students are pretty conscious of that. When they talk in class, I ask them just to use their first name. And I don't think I've had anybody who thought that that was a problem, that their voice is on the recording. So it just hasn't been a problem, but I make sure in advance that everybody is aware of it.
And do you have everyone call in on a conference line?
Yes.
And so this service has automatic recording?
You have to press the buttons, but then it's automatic.
So is that how you handle the recording?
Yes.
Do you have a backup in your area where you record it digitally as well?
No.
Okay. Your conference call service has been pretty reliable.
Yes.
What, do they provide you a link to download the recording as an MP3?
They provide me a link to download the recording, but even before I download the recording, the session gets put automatically onto that replay line, which is a separate number that people can call into 24 hours a day until I record the next class over it.
Is the conference call service reasonable price-wise?
It's free.
Oh, it's free. So that replay line is free until you record over it. If you wanted to leave it up there, you could have multiple call-in numbers.
That's pretty confusing for the students, though.
Yeah, you want to keep it easy.
It's already a little confusing for them that there's one number they need to call to dial into the class and a different number they need to call to listen to the replay.
How often are you reminding the students that, don't forget, we have a session today at 2:30? Is that something you do, or do you give them the schedule at the beginning and they're big boys and big girls?
They're paying a lot of money, so I don't think they're going to forget. They really don't forget.
So do you remind them weekly?
I will send them some information about the next class. It's not a reminder exactly, but I will communicate with them at least once between sessions.
So each one of your students who signed up for a little session, do you put them in an autoresponder or you just handle it individually through your email?
I put them in a blind carbon copy group, so I just then cut and paste that group into a blind carbon copy email.
When people go to a live seminar, one of the real advantages is they're able to network with each other. Do you encourage that the students in your audio seminar are able to contact each other for support and network with each other outside of the calls?
Well, some of the classes that I have taught come with free 2-month membership in my password-protected marketing mentorship program, which has a discussion board. So if they choose to use that part of the program, then they can interact with the other students there. But not everybody does it. But that's another part of the perceived value. They don't feel cheated if they paid for it and don't use it because they feel that that's their own fault.
Okay, so 2 months free. So even though you've sold the course, as a good marketer, you're always thinking ahead. Where are some additional profit centers for the students who have already paid for the course? You've just given me an example, 2 months free for your membership. What happens after 2 months?
Well, many of them do decide to continue, and then that's $99 a month.
In what other ways can one profit from their students after the actual course?
Well, I turn each of these courses into a home study course, which will not have a live teaching component, but will have that interactive recorded session to have the flavor that you're listening to a class, even though you're listening on CD. And it will have an album of CDs and will have some sort of printed material that's bound with coil binding. And sometimes there's also a data disk of additional materials that need to come with the course that will be a data CD rather than an audio CD. And they'll get all that as a package. And they'll be paying anywhere from $497 to $997 for the home study version of the course.
Okay, but someone who signs up for your 7-week audio course, you already said that they get the actual CDs, but do they get this packet as part of their $795 payment for the audio course, or do they have to buy the home study version?
Well, they get all the components that I just described as part of participating in the live course.
Okay, for the 7 weeks.
Remember, I taught that twice?
Yes.
But I'm still selling it, a packaged version of it.
I see. So the students who maybe wanted to take the live course but couldn't, you would make an offer to them that we've done the audio course, it's all recorded, and here's the home study version.
Right. The people who see the promo for that now, they don't have any idea when it was offered as a live course. They just see it offered as a home study course.
So you were actually paid to create your own course.
That's right.
The live course was $795. What do you generally sell the home study versions for?
That one, I have two versions. If you just want to get the packaged course with no consulting from me, no membership in the Marketing for More mentoring program, then that's $695. And then there's, I call it the Fast Start Information Empire program, which includes having me respond to their homework and giving them the 2 months membership in Marketing for More.
I see. Now, are your home study courses downloadable from the Internet?
No. And the reason I don't do that, there's two reasons. One is that, according to what I have observed, that would lower the perceived value of the course. People like getting these tangible things in the mail. They feel like they're getting something that they pay for. And if they put it on their shelf and they don't get to it right away, they can just look at it. They still have it. And people just don't feel that something on their hard drive has the same kind of value. And the other reason that I don't have the courses be downloadable is because there are at least two different types of components in the course. There's the audio component and the printed component, which could be delivered as a PDF, but I just feel like it's too miscellaneous to sell a course that's part audio and part PDF, and people are going to not have it all in one place, and it's going to feel scattered to them. I want them to have it as a package.
Now, how do you handle the editing of your class sessions for the home study course? Do you edit them before you put out the home study course? Do you edit those sessions?
Yes, and I learned a big lesson with that first Launch Your Information Empire course. I left all the editing till the end, so I had 7 class sessions, which added up to about 11 hours of content, and then I had to edit it, and I just couldn't bear to sit down and work my way through 11 hours of material all at once. So what I did was I sent it all to my sister, who had wanted to get access to the course, so she wanted to listen to it anyway. And I said, listen, just have your pencil in hand and watch the clock and write down anything that you feel needs to be edited out. So what I was looking for at that point were things like questions that were off on a tangent, or if somebody had asked me a question that I didn't know the answer to, or any kind of interruption. And she was very good about that. She got back to me promptly, and then I at least knew what to take out. But what I do now is I'm also a much better audio editor now. So what I do is I smooth out the volume of the class participation. So I'm on an even level the whole time, but some of the students will be very soft and others will be very loud. So I have to even that out. That's not that hard to do with the audio editing. And I edit out any beeps that are interrupting the program for one reason or another, and I take out the ums.
Do you have a home study system that will teach me and my students exactly your methodology and how to make money and how to present and how to prepare and how to organize these audio seminars?
Yes, that's one of the courses that I have taught. One of the courses that I taught was called Teleteach for Profit, and I didn't just teach people my method, but I taught them a lot of other people's methods too, so they got to experience how I did it, and I described a lot of other options for teaching material through the audio channel, and I included marketing strategy, what kind of content would work in this format and the logistics, and then how to turn everything into a tangible product that you can sell afterwards.
How long ago did you teach this live?
Earlier this year, I think it was in April.
And how many sessions was it?
It was announced as 4 sessions, and I ended up having a bonus session. So there are 5 sessions in the home study course.
And how long were the sessions?
About an hour and a quarter each.
So if my students wanted to give this a try or invest in this, you're going to get about 5 hours of audio content. What else are they going to get? What are we going to learn in this?
Well, they're also going to get the chance to have a press release distributed. That's included in the cost of the program. And they get 1 hour of my time, which normally goes for, around $350 an hour. And that's included in the program, and they can use that either for phone consulting with me or have me interview them for their first teleseminar.
Oh, I see. In the press release, do you write the press release or do you just distribute it?
I distribute it, and they get several sample press releases along with all their material. They get several sample press releases, sample promotional emails, lots and lots of sample stuff that they can look at, and so they're not making everything up from scratch.
Let's say my students already have expertise in certain topics, or even if they don't have the expertise, how much time can one expect in organizing and putting together this 4 or 5 week session? Do you go over that in the course?
It's a great question. I'm not sure that I specifically mentioned how much preparation time I use, but I would say probably for every hour of class time, I probably spend at least 5 or 6 hours in preparation.
But you only have to do it once. Once it's done.
That's right.
And if you wanted to, you could do them over and over and over again.
So that second time I taught the Information Empire class, it was a breeze.
Right. It was all done.
Yeah.
But in your promotion, you said that you may not offer it again, making it kind of limited so you can get people to sign up. But you don't have to make that offer. You could promote it every month if you wanted to.
That's right. And people would think that there was a lot of value in that because they are getting that live interaction and they're getting the chance to ask questions.
Do you have any case studies of students who are now putting on their own audio seminars? Tell me a story of one.
Well, I taught the course just a few months ago, and in that time, one of the students in that session has realized what focus she should have for the TAL class, and I know that she has started offering them. I believe she has already recorded them and is turning them into a product. So that's in a matter of just maybe 2 or 3 months since finishing the class. She has already turned her first live teleseminar into a product.
Do you offer resources? So let's say I'm going to do it and I'm going to need to put them on CD. Do you reveal who you use for your CD duplication for the fulfillment?
I have several options for everything that they need. So I give them options for the conference call providers, and I say which services I recommend, which services that I and other people have had problems with, and what are the advantages and disadvantages of each option. I give them resources for duplicating CDs, designing album covers, having the discs duplicated or doing them on their own. I mean, some things that I learned the hard way, like if you're going to be labeling CDs, then you can't buy CDs where the brand of the CD is going to show through the label. So I tell people what the brand of CD is that I buy now. So things like that.
That's the end of our audio interview with Marsha. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope you've learned, and I hope it's encouraged you to try and put on your own teleclasses or seminars by phone. For more information on Marsha's program, please go to seminarsbytelephone.com. That's seminarsbytelephone.com. SEMINARSBYTELEPHONE.com.